Well, we have the delight of continuing to hear the good news declared in Luke 2, 1 to 20. So listen with your heart with me. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." While the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, it is so good to be together to think about that light tonight. Christmas is a beautiful time of year, a time of light and hope. And we have things like carols, and we sing, we jump, we ride, we eat. And then we go to the beaches and we exchange gifts. We go on holidays and we have family celebrations. And yet Christmas is also a difficult time of year, a time of darkness and a time of despair. And we have prayed already tonight, war and death in Ukraine, devastation and death in Gaza, civil war in Sudan, and it continues, civil war in Myanmar, violent crimes, kidnappings in Nigeria, earthquake in Vanuatu. Amidst the beauty of Christmas, we also face the time of darkness and despair. In our own country, families are divided, marriages dissolved, domestic violence and sexual assault are commonplace. Brokenness, sorrow, dysfunction is everywhere. Anxiety is crippling, and sometimes the darkness is overwhelming. Is it any wonder we need Jesus, the light of the world? A Jesus who breaks into human history as the light and the life giver to bring hope to the world. Jesus said about himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And as has been alluded to a couple of times in the videos and in the songs and in the readings, the hope would come through a child. This light is a child from Isaiah chapter 9. The people of God in the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ, were in desperate needs. They were about to suffer the judgment of God for their sin and their rebellion. The northern kingdom would be exiled. The southern kingdom would be exiled. But beyond God's judgment upon his own people, he gave them a hope and a promise. The prophet Isaiah preaches that there is still hope. God would one day restore his kingdom. He would do it through the birth of a child. And this child would be an ideal king, a servant king, a humble king, but a powerful king who would bring an end to all war and would establish his eternal kingdom with justice and righteousness. And don't we all want that? He arrives and the light has come and brings joy, we hear verses 2 and 3 of Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. There's going to be a future day, the Old Testament prophet says, 700 years before Jesus comes, there's going to be a brand new day when the light breaks in and brings ultimate joy. Did you get that? When the Messiah comes, he brings great joy, abundant joy, outrageous joy. It's a huge celebration. No wonder we celebrate at Christmas. But more in verses 4 and 5 of Isaiah, it says we are told that the Messiah will bring freedom from oppression and an end to warfare. And how will he do this? Through a royal child. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Listen to the expressions of this light, this child. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A royal child who is human and divine at the same time. A picture of God humbling himself to free his people from oppression and to bring peace and to deliver us from the darkness. Isaiah 7:14 says, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. You're calling Emmanuel, God with us. O come Emmanuel, we've just heard. O come Emmanuel. Come, God, come in the flesh. Come, God, be with us. And in the babe that's represented up there, laying in a little manger, is God in the flesh. Wonderful Counselor, he's called. He will give great wisdom and advice like no one else. He is Mighty God, the Bible says. The expression is Il Gabor, which means Mighty God everywhere when you read it. This son is not an ordinary prophet. He is not an ordinary leader. He is not an ordinary king. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. The kings of the day would see themselves as fathers over their people, but this king will be an everlasting and eternal father. He comes from an eternity and he will return to eternity. He is the Prince of Peace. He'll make peace between God and man and between man and man. He'll restore peace. Don't we all want that? He will have an eternal kingship of the greatness of his government and peace. There'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's a picture of an ideal king, a beautiful savior, beautiful light who comes to change everything. Friends, we had a glimpse, just a temporary glimpse, of this type of peace in the middle of World War I. Exactly 110 years ago. It's called the Silent Night of World War I. It was Christmas Eve, 1914. We're at Christmas Eve, 2024. Count back 110 years. A remarkable thing took place in the middle of World War I. There was a call by religious leaders that men and women would lay down their arms. And the people on both sides listened, the English and the French, and on the other side, the Germans. Men and women who were shooting at one another, taking each other's lives, stopped. Because for a moment at Christmas, they remembered that there was a Saviour Jesus who had come to bring peace, not war. Who had come to bring reconciliation with God and reconciliation with each other. And they laid down their arms. Despite the orders to continue shooting, the unofficial truce spread across the front lines. The Germans placed candlelit Christmas trees on trench parapets, and warring soldiers sang carols, and men on both sides shared food parcels from home. You have a picture there. They met in what they called no man's land. They buried the dead. They exchanged gifts. They ate and they drank together, and even played football. Something about this child, Jesus, stopped them in their tracks. Sadly, though, after this, the war continued. But the Bible says that one day all weapons will be laid to rest. That is still to come, but one day it will be laid to rest. There was a celebration of this event, the Silent Night of World War I, at the 100th anniversary. And Prince Philip Kirill of Prussia, the great-great-grandson of Germany's Kaiser Wilhelm II, who was part of the war, instituted the war, he gathered and he said, with others, that was like a Christian gathering at a big football field. He said, my great-great-grandfather believed in God, but he didn't have the courage to tell those who wanted war to go away. I'm here to ask for forgiveness for his weakness, for the inaction of my relative. Here I stand to ask you, would you forgive me, please? And the entire audience, picture all of you then standing and clapping for over a minute at the request for forgiveness. One person said, I found myself in tears and didn't know why. I want to express thanks to Prince Philip for coming, for his message of peace and forgiveness. It was the most moving service my family has ever attended. One of the most moving carol services I've ever been to, said another. The first one, they said, was in Bethlehem, where the angels sang and celebrated the light coming. The crowd, representing football fans and church members from across South London, then ventured out in driving wind and rain to commemorate the silent night of World War I. The King is going to bring peace. And the King is Jesus. He fulfills the hope. In Matthew 4, we read these words, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, this is John the Baptist, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived, notice where he lives, in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the great light. Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the child referred to in Isaiah 9. Jesus, the baby born at Christmas, is the great King. And he is the one who makes a way into his kingdom. Friends, Christmas is an outrageous act of God's love. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God so loved us and cared for us, he stepped out of heaven onto this earth. The old Christian leader Charles Spurgeon put it this way beautifully. Infinite and an infant. Eternal and yet born of a woman. Almighty and yet hanging on a woman's breast. Supporting a universe yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms. King of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph. Heir of all things and yet the carpenter's despised son. The light has come. God steps into human history to bring hope and joy and peace and love and forgiveness and life to a broken world. He comes into the darkness of our world to change it. And I love the shepherds in Luke 2. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. God always comes in light and glory that people can't miss his coming. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid. It's a word for them, it's a word for us. Do not be afraid when the unexpected happens, when interest rates continue to rise, when an illness suddenly strikes your family, when floods destroy your town, when bushfires ravage your city. Trust him. It's good news. Christianity is the best news in the world. It is the good news that there is forgiveness available through Christ, that God is on our side. God loves us and cares for us. It's good news. Don't be ashamed of it. Let it touch your life and transform your life. And therefore, it brings great joy to all people. Why is there joy in the birth of a baby? Because the King has come. The light has come that changes everything. We're told about his name. He said, she'll give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's why there's great joy. God knows there is darkness in the world. There's darkness in all of us. Look into your heart and you will see the darkness, the impure thoughts, the selfish attitudes. Just look into your heart for a moment when you're alone and think and reflect. You know there's darkness out there and there's darkness in here, and I know there is darkness in here, and we all need forgiveness. The child who was born will not simply live a healthy, happy life. He would end up on a cross, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, the Bible says. Friends, about 10 years ago, I went to visit an uncle who was dying. He was 87. And lying on his bed, not able to do much in a nursing home, he told me he didn't believe in God. For many years, he mocked the God that I followed and I believed in. He was an atheist. He didn't believe that Jesus was God's son. He didn't believe he needed a savior. The light had come into the world, but some people prefer the darkness. They refuse to come to the light. They die in the darkness. They die unforgiven. Within a few weeks of his death, I baptized a woman who was also 87. It's amazing symmetry. She came to trust in Christ later in life. Her sins were forgiven. She had peace with God. She had a place in heaven assured. She came to the light and found new life in Christ. This Christmas, whether you're in this auditorium or watching on live stream, let the light of Christ break into your life. It's never too late. We are men and women who live in the light of eternity. We know that in an instant, a car accident, a heart attack, cancer, a gun, it could be all over. But we are created for something more. We are created to live for Christ, with Christ for eternity. You may be asking today, if the light has come, if Christ is King, why hasn't war ended? Why does oppression persist? Why do terrorists still kill? Why does cancer still take our loved ones? It's been 2,000 years. Why? Because, friends, the end has not yet come. Christ's coming happens in two stages. He came the first time to pay the price for our sins, so we could be restored to relationship with God. He will come a second time to put an end to this world as we know it, to bring in the final judgment. And beyond that, darkness will be no more. The Bible says, I heard a loud voice from heaven, from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. This is looking into the future that will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Listen to what he says. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The day is coming. Do you groan like I do sometimes? Lord, when are you going to put an end to evil and hatred and abuse? Lord, when? And he reminds me that there's a job to do between his first and his second comings. It's to let other people know that the light has come into the darkness. To let other people know that it's a way of forgiveness, a way of peace, a way of reconciliation with the God of the universe. He still waits so others would become his people, his children. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who spent time in a dark prison, was executed by the Nazis before the end of World War II. With that background in his own mind, the darkness and the whole idea of light, he says, he writes this, "Life in a dark prison cell. I think this is a great way to think about the situation of humanity. Before Jesus came, there was only a sliver of light entering the cell through the bottom of the door." You see that on that picture. "People were living in great darkness without the possibility of escape. But then one day, Christmas Day, the door was opened from the outside. Jesus came into the cell. He lived with those inside in the midst of their darkness. He told them about a new world that was outside that they could experience if they would only follow him out the door. He told them that it was infinitely better than anything they'd experienced up until that point. Some listened," he says, "and trusted him. But others kicked him out of the cell. They were used to the darkness, were content with it. They become so used to living in the cell that they couldn't imagine anything better awaiting them elsewhere." It says, after Jesus was kicked out of the cell, some of the people who trusted him followed the path to the way out. These followers of Jesus discovered a new world outside of the darkness of the cell, a world full of light and peace and love and faith and hope and joy. And so, because they discovered that with Jesus, they ran back into the cell to tell others the good news. They told the others inside that they should trust the Jesus guy who came and opened the cell and to follow his path out the door into the light. They were witnesses to the light and the amazing new life that came along with it. And while many people did follow them out, many chose to remain in the dark cell, a cell that they had grown used to, a cell that their eyes had adjusted to. He says, this cell is like the world we continue to live in. And the church is that body of messengers who constantly return to the cell by the power of the Holy Spirit to let others know that they can be free from darkness because of God's great gift to them. The light has come. Friends, that's the good news of the Christmas story. You don't have to live in the darkness of the dark cell. You no longer have to live without meaning and purpose and direction. You can live for something bigger, something better that only Christ can offer you. The Bible says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. I wonder where you are today. You're still in that cell? Just got used to living like that and not willing to explore the light that Christ brings? Or maybe tonight you're ready to say, I want to make the move from the darkness of the cell into the light of Jesus and find forgiveness. You just talk to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life to be your Lord and Savior. And say that from tonight, Lord Jesus, I'm not staying there any longer. I'm out. I want to be with you. I want to experience life, life to the full. Only Jesus can bring you that life. And he offers it to each of us tonight. Friends, if you also would like to know more about following Jesus, we have some resources in the foyer. The Joy to All People is the Gospel of Luke, beautifully presented. You might take one and have a read of that. The Real Christmas, we've run out of Why Christmas is on the Right. Hundreds have gone out the last few weeks. But please take it, read it, discover more. We'd love to talk to you if you'd like to know any more about this great Jesus. But we celebrate that the light has come.